Psalm 23 and Psalm 24, believe it or not, all go together. Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are messianic psalms. Now, that simply means they're songs about the Messiah, all right? And there's other psalms that are about the Messiah as well. Psalm chapter number 1 is another one about the Messiah. So it's deemed a messianic term or psalm, rather. But these three are situated in such a way that they're together, 22, 23, and 24. One of the commentators that I read behind and I give all of our preacher boys a set is J. Vernon McGee. And Jay, he's old school now. We ain't talking about nobody new. J. Vernon, he's old school, all right? And if anybody knows him, it's probably an old timer in here. It ain't these young bucks, all right? But he does a good job of outlining these three chapters, and he calls Psalm 22 the cross, Psalm 23 the crook, as in the shepherd's hook, and then Psalms 24 as the crown. And he also outlines it as Psalm 22 the Savior, Psalm 23 the great shepherd, and Psalm 24 the chief shepherd. And so he outlines it several different ways, and most of your commentators would agree in how the outlining goes with these. But in Psalm chapter number 22, a matter of fact, and I will be studying this out, but in Psalm chapter number 22, the seven sayings of the cross are found in Psalm chapter number 22, and I'm going to do my best to study that out and give that to y'all at some point. Psalm 22 probably parallels best with Isaiah chapter number 53, believe it or not, and Genesis chapter number 22. Of course, Psalm chapter number 22 is in the past, looking back at the death of the Savior or the suffering of the Savior. But Psalm 23, we come into the present. That's where David writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." This is where David is talking about the present. So we see the past in chapter number 22. In chapter 23, we see the present. But in chapter number 24, we see the future. All right, how many of y'all is confused with all I just said right there, all right? Nobody except for Colby? All right, let's move on. All right, let's read Psalm chapter number 24. You might have been scratching your head, but your hand moved, so anyhow. All right, let's read it. It's only 10 verses, all right? I thought about reading 22, 23, and 24, but I'd get bogged down in that, and we'd be here for 4 hours, all right? So let's look at Psalm chapter number 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof the world, and they that dwell therein. Let me read that again. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. You don't have to look any further in Genesis chapter number 1. Somewhere around verses 18 and 19, and you'll find this to be true. Verse number 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Now here's where a lot of people get to messing up. Bible says, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, I want everybody that is qualified by that verse right there to raise your hand. Okay, look around. a lot of people mess up right here because they take this scripture and they said, oh, this is the outline of how we can get into God's presence. But I'm going to show you tonight, or I hope I've already showed you, I hope you got a good idea right now that none of us can get into God's presence by these qualifications. Verse number 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. That word Selah, just a little input there. Selah is a term in these songs that literally means to pause and to think on that. So the writer tells us that the world, the earth, is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that is in it. And it says that he formed it. Earth came out of the water, the floods. He says that who can go into that holy place? And basically he describes that nobody can. As he ends that, he says, Selah, which means stop and think about that. All right? Anytime you see that, stop and think on these things. Now, let's move on to verse number 7. The Bible says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. It's repeated. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. All right. Everybody with me? Amen. Now, I entitled this thing, Living in Uncertainties. As I mentioned, I had a conversation with a man, and I've been fortunate enough, I guess it's fortunate, I don't know if it is, but I've been fortunate enough to know several millionaires, and they have confided in me about different aspects of their life. In particular, one that I was speaking with recently has come on hard times, but I'd like to say this, maybe you don't even know this, but most millionaires, I think the average millionaire has gone bankrupt 3.5 times, all right? Which means that I got 3.5 more times to go, and I should be a millionaire, all right? Anyhow, that was kind of a weird fact to me, you know, I was looking that thing up, but most millionaires have been bankrupt, the average 3.5 times the average millionaire has gone bankrupt and sits a millionaire today. But as I was talking to this particular man and he was telling me about his difficulties, I told you already the struggle was in particular with why God would allow this to happen. It wasn't as if money was being mismanaged or anything of that nature, but how many of you know this? Sometimes life isn't fair. I'm going to go over here and say this. Sometimes life isn't fair. And all I mean by that is it doesn't work out how we would like for it to work out. Well, believe it or not, I got a phone call and this week, and it was from another guy who is a millionaire. And I know for a fact he has been bankrupt several times. And anyhow, he called me up. Me and him was talking about it, and we were talking about a situation, and I was we were just in conversation, and he made this comment to me. He said, Brother Robbie, I learned a long time ago that whether I'm a millionaire or whether I'm broke, the source of my income never changes. I was like, whoa. I said, I'm just going to tell you something right now. That's going to be in a sermon. You know that. And he just laughed and he said, oh, you work it out now. Somebody needs to hear that. Because he said, whether I have millions in the bank or whether I'm broke, he said, the source of my income is the Lord. He says, so whether I got millions of dollars in the bank or whether I'm dead broke, God has deemed it that way. Now, listen, I'm tell you what, that helps somebody tonight. But as we were talking, man, that thing just started flooding my mind. I was just thinking, man, how can somebody, of course, he's been, like I said, he's been in that boat, bankrupt several times, and now he has plenty of money, and he's as giving and as good as I know of a person. But the comment just hit me because I think most of us don't understand that reality. Come on now, don't get quiet on me and don't. I think most of us don't understand that reality. The fact is God could take it all away from me. He could take it all away from you tomorrow. And no matter what you and I have right now, it can all change before we lay our head down on a pillow at night. I wrote down, life can change in a moment. Your life can take a 180-degree turn before you lay down tonight. The fact is, life is uncertain. We live in uncertainties, and we worry mostly about things that never come to pass. Tonight, in Psalm 24, I want us to get our eyes off of the uncertainties of life and focus on the certainties of our Savior. If you'll let me do that real quickly before we eat watermelon. All right, is everybody good? All right, number one, I want you to look with me in Psalm chapter number 24 in the first two verses. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. The very first thing that I notice in verses number one and verses number two is the authority of God. It's all his. As I've already said, every possession is his. Everything in this world, according to the Bible, in verse number one, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means everything that is in the earth. It says the world and they that are in it. So everything belongs to God. I need somebody to say amen. Take a deep breath and say amen. Amen. All right, that deep breath that you and I just took, it was a gift from God. That air was God's to begin with. I think, do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The fullness thereof, everything that you and I have is and does belong to God. The air that we breathe is God. That heartbeat that you and I have, it is God's. The food that you and I will eat for the rest of our life belong to God. I think God said it. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He will provide for you and I, but it is his. I need somebody to help me tonight. We go through life thinking that you and I have something. We don't have anything. It all belongs to God. And if God so chooses to take it all away from us, then we can't accuse him of being a bad God. We can't accuse him of being bad to us, because it is all God. And that should make us wake up and realize that we have a responsibility to do with what he has given us, because it is his. We are stewards of what God gives us. I notice the authority of God's. It's all his. It's his possessions. It's his people. It's his purpose. It's his power. I notice in the book of Job, in Job chapter number one, the Bible says that Satan come before the Lord, but he had to be given permission. Amen. To do it. Y'all better help me now. He had to be given permission to do anything to Job. Why? Because the world is not his. Though we may say he's the God of this world, understand this, he is not over this world. God is sitting on a throne high in heaven, and the devil answers to him, and he can't do anything without the permission of God. I notice this in the Gospels. You'll remember the demons that was in the man, the maniac of Gadaris. They had to ask for permission to go into the swine. Why? Because the swine was God. Not only was the man Job God's, but the swine was God's, and they had to have permission from God to be able to enter in or to affect anything that goes on. Whatever happens in mine and your life, understand, it is God that is directing it, because it is God who owns it all. How does he establish his authority? By reminding us of creation. He says in verse number two, he said, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God said, I have authority and I own everything because I created everything. I need somebody to help me. That's pretty good for authority right there. He created the angels, therefore he has authority over them. He created the earth, therefore he has authority over it. He created everything in the earth, therefore he has authority. He created man. He formed us out of the dust of the ground, therefore he has authority over us. Man, that statement hit me hard. Because I sit there and I wonder, that statement that man made to me, it hits me hard because how many times have I thought, oh, I'm the one that owns this. I need somebody to help me tonight. You and I ought to thank God that he allows us to just breathe, much less drive a vehicle and all that other stuff. I need somebody to help me now. The authority of God's, it is all his. I notice number two, the access to God. We are secure in him. I notice in verse number three, the Bible says this, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? In other words, who can stand in the presence of God? The answer is, he that hath clean hands. There's a lot of people that think that they can get clean enough. But here's where he messes us all up. And a pure heart. I need somebody to help me. You can clean up the outside all you want to, but that inside will tell on you every time. Oh, you can dress up, put a smile on your face. You can look at somebody, look at them eyeball to eyeball and act like you love them. But that heart, you ain't going to, you ain't going to fool God. Who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. I need a testimony. Don't testify in here about how humble you are. A lot of people talking about, I'm thankful that I am humble. Verse number four, nor sworn deceitfully. Bible says, he shall receive the blessing or the favor from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy faith. We see the access to God. I notice, as I've already mentioned, none of us are worthy. None of us meet the criteria or meet the requirements for being in the presence of the Lord. But there's one who does. In Revelation chapter number 5, I want to read if you'll let me. And the Bible says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 are in the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Can I say this? Let me go ahead and read this next part. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We have access to God in chapter number 24, in verse number 4, 5 and 6. Why? Or 3, 4, 5 and 6. Why? Because of the Lamb. The one that came, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. No, you and I do not, we cannot stand in the presence of God. We cannot go to where God is, but He can. He came and He died for you and I so that we can go into the presence of God. Why? Because we are secure in Him. I need somebody to help me. Y'all ain't helping me tonight, all right? Listen, that ought to give you some comfort. God has authority over all things, and yet He gives us access to Him through His Son, not through anything that you and I can do. It's not my righteousnesses, but it is His righteousness and me living in Him. When Christ saved me, when I got saved, I gained access to God, who is an authority over all. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, I'm going to read that for you if you'll let me do that. In Hebrews chapter number 10, I believe it's in verse number, let me see which verses I want to start off. Verse number 10, the Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Is everybody with me? I don't think y'all, let me read that verse again. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified. We can't come to God. We can't come to God. We don't meet the criteria. But according to Hebrews chapter number 10, by the which will we are sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We're sanctified through His body, and according to this verse, we are perfected forever because we are sanctified through His body. Now, that don't mean perfected as in we're perfect. I need somebody to say amen right there. Verse number 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They should be a shout there, but y'all are about dead, all right? Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, which is, by the way, the presence of God. Let me get back to that, all right? Y'all ain't got it, but I'm going to get it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Oh, y'all, I'm telling you what. I can't even preach this the way I feel it. We are sanctified by Him. According to that scripture, we are sanctified forever. We are perfected forever because we are sanctified through Him. And because of that, the Bible tells us that them verses up there, it says we can have boldness to enter into the holiest. That is the presence of God. You and I have access to the presence of God through Christ who died for us and sanctified us, perfected us forever. And according to the Bible, we should hold fast our profession of faith without wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. I'm not going on my uncertainties. I'm going on the faithfulness of a Savior who died for me, who made a way for me to access God and to get in His presence. And according to Him, He is faithful. Why? Because He made the promise. I'm not promised. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I'm not promised tomorrow, but I am promised access to Him. I ain't promised tomorrow, Brother Herman. I'm not promised my bank account tomorrow, but I am promised that one day I'll be in that throne room. There's coming a day I'm going to be standing there with the one that died for me. I'll be standing there with the one that sanctified me. I'll be in that crowd that's crying out, He is worthy. I'm going to be there. That 10,000s upon 10,000s and thousands and thousands. Yeah, that's going to be me. It's going to be y'all too. Y'all just ain't going to realize you're there. You're going to be like, what? What's going on? Oh, is everybody all right? I'm going to tell you something. This is the quietest it's ever going to be around the Lord. When you and I get to heaven, they'll be crying out over and over. There'll be silence for 30 minutes in heaven. The only time that there's ever recorded any silence in heaven. You have to go read Revelation for that. But understand this. The rest of the time, there'll be thundering. Holy, holy, holy. There'll be others shouting out, Thou art worthy. Worthy, worthy. Y'all get that about the time you lay your head down on the pillow tonight, all right? You and I, we see the authority of God. We see the access to God in chapter number 24. Then we see the arrival of God. Yes, He's coming back. David wrote about it. David, do we all get this? King David. Brother Scott, King David wrote this. Hey, God let him see way out there. And let David write a psalm for us and say, God's coming back. The arrival of God. Check this out. The Bible says, lift up your heads, verse number 7 of chapter 24, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Somebody hollers out, who's the King of glory? David said, I'm glad you asked. Is everybody with me? He said this, the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. David said, let me repeat myself. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King, capital K, of glory shall come in. Oh boy, he still ain't got it. He said, who is the King of glory? David said, I'm glad you asked. He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. We see the arrival of God. He's coming back. Revelation chapter number 19. Y'all ought to know all this stuff. Y'all ought to be teaching me all this stuff as much as I preached out of Revelation here lately. The Bible says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That ought to make somebody shout right there. I'm going to tell y'all what, one thing I've learned, we're building a house right now, one thing I learned is there ain't a whole lot of faithfulness and there ain't a whole lot of truth when it comes to a subcontractor. Is everybody with me? So I'm just going to shout every time I see Faithful and True. Are y'all okay with that? Because that one thing I've found out is they ain't faithful and they ain't true. All right. And the Bible says, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I can't even get past that verse without shouting. Hey, there's only one person that could have a name that nobody else knew. And that's God. But yet this scripture is talking about Jesus Christ. I need somebody to hear me right here. Jesus Christ is God. And don't you let anybody tell you any different. He has a name that only he himself knows. And nobody, ain't nobody hiding anything from God. Which means that he is God. Verse number 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Chapter number 1 of John, and in verse number 14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Bible says in verse number 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, if you go back up to the beginning of chapter number 19, you'll find out that the redeemed. We just got finished chapter number 19 and verse number 1 is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at that marriage supper of the Lamb, you and I get some new attire. And the Bible says this about it. It is fine, white linen. Can I say this? God is coming back. And when he does, I'm coming back with him. Somebody say amen. If you're saved in here, that's something to shout about. There's a lot of things that are uncertain in life, but there's one thing that is certain. David wrote about it long time, thousands of years ago, and he said, he is coming back. It's coming in time. Now, the last point, and I'm done, all right? We're going to go eat watermelon. Y'all ready? I had to do a little bit of digging on this one, and I'm going to be honest with you. It ain't right here. So y'all going to have to bear with me, all right? Y'all ready for this? So I did a little bit of studying on this thing and found out that by tradition, now when I tell you by tradition, that doesn't mean that it's scripture to back it up, all right? Is that, everybody understand that? But by tradition, this psalm is said to be written when David was bringing the ark into Jerusalem. That is the setting for David bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, we read about David bringing that ark into Jerusalem. I'll start reading in verse number 12, and it says, and it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. It was said by several commentators that this was the song that they were singing as David, y'all, as David danced before the ark and danced before the Lord. We've seen the authority of God in the first 2 verses. Verses 3 through 6, you and I see access to God through a Savior. He is blessed. He is favored. That's Christ. We see the return. All right, so we see the arrival of God. But lastly, I just wrote this in there just because it was good. The adoration of God. While this was being sung, they were bringing that ark in. And as they marched that ark in, they were singing this song. Old boy says, who is the King of Glory? And David said, I'm glad you asked. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Y'all hear me? Hey, he was telling us about something that was going to happen in the future, but let me tell you about David. The Bible says that he danced before the Lord. Why? Because there was a certainty. There was something that he was sure about. And let me just go ahead and tell you this. David walked into his house later that day and his own wife turned on him. She didn't want anything to do with him because he had abased himself in front of the population. He had taken off his kingly throne and he had danced before the Lord. His life turned a 180 by the time he got inside. But it did not change who he was worshiping. It did not change who he was looking up to. It didn't change the King of Glory. Why? Because it was the Lord. He is the Lord. Lord, and he is coming back. I need somebody to help me. We're here just for a short time, and no matter what we have to deal with here, it pales in comparison to the rewards that you and I are going to receive the moment that we check out of this earth and we check into the throne room of glory. How can I live life in uncertainties? Get grounded in a certainty. He that is promised is faithful. He's even coming back. He's going to have it on his thigh. It says, faithful. Y'all just ain't even getting it. Faithful and true. In other words, what he said he'll do, he's going to do. And though my bank account may be uncertain, though my family may be uncertain, though my church may be uncertain, my home, my car, my life, my health may be uncertain. There's one thing that is faithful and true. And as my son so perfectly illustrated, if we got our eyes on all of our uncertainties, we'll miss out on a big God. But if we'll get our eyes on a big God, a true and a faithful God, our uncertainties be very small. Amen. Come to that piano, if you will, Miss Caitlin. How about this? Are you feeling uncertain? Things didn't go exactly how you planned it. Why don't we come around the altar just for a few moments and give some honor, glory, and praise to the Lord. Life's difficult. Many uncertainties. But there's one thing in life that is certain. There's one thing in life that is faithful and true. There's one thing in life that you and I can depend on. Heads bowed with me, if you will. Some of you men, if you will, y'all come and help me out with some prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around tonight. I want you to know that you and I have access to God through Jesus Christ, but that's only in Him. In other words, that access and that sanctification only comes through faith in Him. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do me a favor right now, real quickly. I want you to look right up at me. Preacher, I'm not sure if I was to die where I'd go, where I'd spend eternity. If there's anybody like that, I want you to look right up at me. Is there anybody like that? Just make eye contact. If I ain't seeing you, wave at me. Is there anybody like that?